slot on East Coast FM's Morning Show with thanks to Mutt's Dargle Road Bray. We've everything to make your pet a happy pet. East Coast
FM. Joining us on the line now is Pete Weatherburn. Of course, we know Pete as Pete the Vet, and Pete is from Bray Vet on Old Connor Avenue in Bray. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you, and we're going to talk about small little things like ticks and parasites and things like that. I heard an interesting programme on British radio during the week about them and the effect they have on us and all sorts of things. Least of our problems is Lyme disease, but it's still there from ticks. But, you know, animals are not immune to the little things that fly around and maybe cause all sorts of problems. So tell us about them.
Well, I think the main issue right now is that the weather is warming up as we head into summer. And so what happens when it gets warmer outside is that fleas and ticks and other creepy crawlies, they all become more active. That means they move around more. So ticks are more likely to attach to your pet and fleas are more likely to infest your pet because they're moving more quickly. As well as that, though, they're breeding. They breed faster in warm weather. And so that also leads to a peak. So with fleas, we do see issues in the winter these days because of centrally heated houses and fleas can live in the houses. Ticks are more of an outdoor issue. So we definitely see a spring rise in the number of ticks that are out there. And just on Saturday morning when I was working at my clinic in O'Connor, somebody brought a cat in to see me because the cat, they thought, had sprouted a small growth beside its eye. But when I looked at that growth closely with a magnifying glass, I could see it actually had legs. And so it wasn't a growth at all. It was a tick. And so it was bothering the cat. The cat was pawing at it. So what I did is I used a special device, a thing called a tick hook, which you use to go around the tick and remove it so that you remove the entire creature. You don't leave the mouth parts buried in the pet's skin, because if that happens, it can cause infections and other problems. So I removed it with a special tick hook, and the problem was solved. People will be seeing more of this type of issue just now.
Right, and I mean, cats versus dogs when it comes to parasites. I mean, it's always dogs, really, we hear about.
Well, as vets, we see parasite problems in both species, cats as much as dogs. People tend to think more about ticks with dogs, and indeed, dogs can get Lyme disease like humans. So that is a significant issue. With cats, they don't get Lyme disease, so the cats don't have diseases that are carried by ticks. So it is just the fact that the cat has something on them which is bothering them, and also the fact that if there are ticks around your house, then they could possibly pass Lyme disease on to you as a human. So I think it's in everybody's interest to keep the number of ticks down to an absolute minimum on pets, and that reduces the risk of Lyme disease to humans as well.
And how do they get on to the animal?
Well, basically what happens is ticks breed in, they're like meadows and woodlands, and they basically lay eggs wherever they are. And then the eggs, in warm weather, the eggs develop into little larvae, which are like smaller versions of adult ticks. And the larvae climb to the top of vegetation, like grass and so on, and scrub. And they sit there waiting. And when an animal walks past, the ticks start to wave their little arms up above their heads. And as the animal brushes against them, they can leap onto the animal and hang on there. And once they've landed on the animal, whether it's a dog or a cat or a sheep or a deer, they then crawl up the body until they find a nice warm place with reasonably thin skin that's reasonably close to a blood vessel. And then they bury their head into that through the skin. And once they've gone through the skin, they locate a little blood vessel and they suck blood. And so they are genuinely little blood suckers, little vampires. And what you'll see is a tick, when it lands on the animal, it might be no bigger than a pinhead. But as it sucks blood, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it'll often be the size of a frozen pea, or even bigger than that sometimes. And when that happens, they've got everything they need, and they fall off. They throw themselves off the animal, they land in the undergrowth, and the cycle starts again. They lay eggs, the eggs go into larvae, and the larvae attach to the animals. That's the sequence that happens.
Blooming out. It's yuck.
I mean, the thing is, what people should know is that they can prevent ticks these days. You can get medication, spot-on products, collars, and for dogs especially, there's a tablet you give either once a month or there's another one that you give every 3 months. And if you give that medication to your pets, they will never come home with ticks. It stops the problem altogether, and it also prevents fleas as well. So, you know, you don't need to be... If you're always finding ticks on your dog, if you see this regularly, I definitely recommend a monthly or three-monthly medication, because that will just solve the problem altogether.
Right, the blood becomes unpalatable, is it, for the insect?
When the ticks suck the blood, they die. They fall off again.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's very effective at doing that.
Yeah.
As usual, Declan, I've written about this in my Brave People column, and the one that's coming up this coming Wednesday. I've written especially about Lyme disease, because my own daughter, Ella, she got Lyme disease, and I discovered to myself, we discovered in our family, what a challenge it is, because it's a very serious, debilitating disease, and there's quite a lot of controversy out there in the medical world as to how best to diagnose and treat it. So that kind of adds to the challenge of having an illness like that, is that it's not just as simple as going to your doctor, getting a standard treatment, problem sorted. It's much more complex than that. But that's a whole other topic, and that's not really for a vet to be talking about that stuff.
Yes, and from what I hear about humans, that if you go for a walk in the countryside, make sure you're, if you're wearing pants or something like that, that they're tucked into your socks or something. So
And if you do get a tick on you, don't remove it quickly. Yeah. The longer it's on you, the more likely you are to get Lyme disease. And make sure you wash your hands afterwards as well, if you handle a tick at all, like if you take one off your pet. And last of all, if you are aware you've been exposed to ticks, then what you should do is keep an eye out. And if in the following couple of months you either get a skin rash, or if you start to feel lousy in some way, you might just think, oh, I've just got a headache or a bit of a bug of some kind. But if you've been bit by a tick, you should take that sort of mild illness very seriously and go to your doctor. Because basically, if you get comprehensive treatment early in the course of Lyme disease, then it's highly effective very quickly. If you don't get medical help at that stage, then the bugs multiply in your system, and you can end up having to take antibiotics for several months or even up to a year. Because the bug is so difficult to kill and so embedded in your system. So being very, very aware of ticks and of Lyme disease, I think, is the most important thing. The biggest issues happen when people have never heard of it and they don't know what's happening to themselves then.
Mm. I think we must come back to, from a human point of view, about walking in our beautiful countryside, about ways to protect yourself from other parasites as well as the tick. Texter here, hi Pete, my rabbit has bald patches in areas and he's itchy. Has he some sort of skin condition or mites, and what should we do, says Sarah?
Well, he could well do. There's a quite a common rabbit mite called walking dandruff, because it looks like dandruff, but when you put it onto a surface where you can watch it, you actually see that the dandruff is moving around. So this little mite, it's called Kayetiella, but walking dandruff is a colloquial name. It does need specific treatment. So any itchy rabbit with bald areas, definitely get them checked out by your vet. And they'll often take a little sample, look at it under the microscope, and say to you, look, there you are. That's the little mite that's causing your rabbit's problem. So it's not normal for a rabbit to have bald areas and for a rabbit to be itching. So you definitely need to get that checked out.
Okay, Pete Weatherburn, good to talk to you, Pete.
Thank you, Declan.
Hopefully see you next week. Thanks very much indeed. Good morning to you.
The Vet Slot on East Coast FM's Morning Show, with thanks to Mutz, Dargle Road Bray. We've everything to make your pet a happy pet. East Coast FM. Testing.